Yes. As for your own end, death will come to you far away from the sea. A gentle death. When he takes you, you will die peacefully of old age, surrounded by a prosperous people. This is the truth that I have told you. Tiresias, I answered him. No doubt these are the threads of destiny which the gods themselves have spun. But tell me this, and tell me truthfully. I see the spirit of my dead mother. She sits in silence by the blood, and cannot bring herself to look at her own son in the face, or say a single word to him. Tell me, my lord, how can I make her recognize who I am? There is a simple rule, said Tiresias, which I will explain. Any ghost to whom you give access to the blood will speak the truth. Any to whom you deny it will withdraw. The spirit of Lord Tiresias had spoken his prophecies and now withdrew into the halls of Hades. But I kept steady at my post and waited till my mother came up and drank the dark blood. She recognized me at once. She gave a cry of grief and her words winged their way to me. My child, how did you come here to this murky realm? You, who are still alive. This is no easy place for living eyes to find. For between you and us, flow wide rivers and fearful waters. First of all, Oceanus, whose stream a man could never cross on foot, but only in a well-found ship. Have you come here now from Troy and been wandering over the seas in your ship with your comrades ever since you left? Have you not been to Ithaca yet, nor seen your wife in your palace? Mother, I answered her, I had to come down to Hades and consult the soul of Tabor and Tiresias, for I have not been near to Achaea, nor set foot on our own land, but have been a wretched wanderer from the very day when I sailed with King Agamemnon for Ilium, the city of fine horses, to fight the Trojans. But tell me, what happened to you? What death overtook you? Did you have some lingering illness? Or did Artemis the Archeress visit and kill you with her gentle darts? And tell me of my father and the son I left behind. Is my kingdom safe in their hands, or was it taken by some other man when it was assumed that I would never return? And what of my good wife? How does she feel, and what does she intend to do? Is she still living with her son and keeping our estate safe, or has the best of her countrymen already married her? Of course she is still living in your home, my royal mother replied. She has schooled her heart to patience, though her eyes are never free from tears, as the slow nights and days pass sorrowfully by. Your fine kingdom has not yet passed into other hands. Telemachus is in peaceful possession of the royal lands and attends all public banquets, such as justices are expected to give, for every one of them invites him. But your father lives alone on his farm and never goes down to the city now. He has no proper bed with laundered sheets and blankets to sleep on. Instead, he lies down in the wintertime with the labourers at the farm in the ashes by the fire and goes about in rags. But when the summer and the mellow autumn days come round, he makes himself a humble bed of fallen leaves anywhere on the high ground of his vineyard. There he lies in his misery, with old age pressing hard upon him, and nursing his grief and yearning for you to come back. That was my undoing too. It was that brought me to the grave. It was not that the keen-eyed Archeress sought me out in our home and killed me with her gentle darts, nor was I attacked by any of the malignant diseases that so often make the body waste away and die. No, it was my heartache for you, my glorious Odysseus, and for your wise and gentle ways that brought my life with all its sweetness to an end.